Anne Marie Christensen, 65 years of age.
So, refresh my memory. So, where in the order of the six kids are you?
Second to the last.
So you're right before Mark.
I'm right
So
before
you're
Mark.
the second baby. Okay.
Baby girl.
What kind of student were you in high school? Were you a jock? Were you a nerd? Were you a straight A student?
Thespian.
Oh, really? So you did a lot of plays?
Mm-hmm.
What plays did you do in high school?
No, Nanette. It's the Mousetrap, an old English mystery. Alice in Wonderland. I think that was it. I think it was the three plays that senior year.
Were any of your other siblings into drama? Yeah, I don't think that came up with. So you were unique in that aspect.
Right. It was connected to chorale and choir because I was one of their top singers.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they began to do the musical, that expanded my life into the theater, and my other high school friends, we all decided that we were going to pursue the theater. And you had to perform a certain number of duties before you could be officially made a thespian. So we all went through that. We were all given our official thespian cards because we completed our supposed hours required to do so. To earn your thespian title. So that's what we did, which means you work backstage, you do the lights, you do the curtain, you do the costumes, you sew, you maybe act as a background singer, or you could be the star of the show. It was wherever you fell into your duties while the theater was being, the production was being put together. So it was so much fun and got me out of a lot of classes because I was not a good student.
That was going to be my next question. What,
Yes.
were you a good student? And
No.
the answer is no.
No. I was a good A student in topics that I loved. In topics that I either had no interest in or I just found boring. Science and math were horrendous for me, so I would avoid them at all costs and do the bare minimum, barest minimum to get a C. History and English, anything that required reading and writing, I excelled at and usually did, A's and B's. But I was never striving to be a straight A student. There was never a drive in me to push that to that level that I had to have an A or I had to have the best paper. It just didn't happen.
Did you get in a lot of trouble as a kid? Did you have any stories of your
One time.
one
My
time?
one time story. I was 5 and a half when we moved to Oregon, brand new neighborhood. A lot of it was still under construction. A lot of it was still very wild in the sense that it had forested areas. And I started to run around with the neighborhood kids, and we all took off on our bikes. I must have been older than 5 and a half because I had my own bike, and I got my first bike at 6 years of age, first Christmas there. And I went with them over about a mile away from the house down to the creek that there was running through the area that did not have a house on it, so it still had trees and a creek. So we went down to the creek, and we were catching crawdads, and it was late in the day. And when my parents put out for dinner, we were all supposed to be there. Well, I didn't show up for dinner, and no one knew where I was.
Oh no.
So they sent George, maybe John, to find me. And they found my bike. They walked down to where the creek was, and they found me and basically said, "You are in big trouble." And I came home, and I walked through the door, and my father hit me. And it was the one and only time that my father ever hit me. And he hit me so hard, he slapped me on the back because he was so angry and relieved because he thought that I had been kidnapped because I was missing for hours. His hand mark stayed on my back for a week. However, it wasn't the pain, which was minimal. It was, you get slapped, it's not that bad. It was simply that the way my father looked when he hit me, that affected me so deeply. I never ever wanted to have that look on his face again. And my mother was totally unsympathetic. She says, "You scared your father and me half to death. Go upstairs, take a bath, come downstairs, eat your dinner, and go back to your room." And of course, she did everything they said. And they sat me down the next day and they gave me instructions. You cannot go past the house down the street that looks just like ours. It was a two-story colonial down the street. And on the opposite end, they They put a restriction of the house on the other side that I couldn't go past.
They just fenced you in, essentially.
They fenced me in, with invisible fences, so to speak. And it was so scary for me that the even thought of going past that boundary was enough for me to just turn around, because I never wanted to get in trouble like that again. And pretty much that was it. Now, I did a lot of stuff my parents didn't know I was doing, and had I gotten caught, I would have probably been in some pretty severe, getting in trouble. after the boundary was lifted, I was going far and farther away from home, but, we were kids, and we were allowed to run wild back then. We had bikes, and we just took off. We went to the local stores and stuff, and cut through people's yards to get over to certain areas, and, it was a fun time growing up. But we never were mischievous to the point of it being detrimental or being bad. It was just being curious kids. That was it. My trouble.
What was your favorite memory of your parents? Did they have a? Is there a favorite? Did you guys have traditions? Did you have a favorite meal?
I'd have to say that the tradition I truly appreciated, I think, as a child was the importance of holidays. So Thanksgiving was hugely important, and we had to dress even nicer than on the Sunday you dress. You put on your really nice clothes to sit at a beautiful table set with mom's finest china. And it was made a very special event. So Thanksgiving and Christmas were always very special in that aspect, because you were made to feel like it was a special event. And it was part in celebration of the of course, Thanksgiving was family, and Christmas, of course, was the birth of Christ. So those memories and the Christmas tree memory, because my father loved Christmas. And we grew up without toys on our birthday. No big deal was made of our birthdays. And I never thought that was weird. And it was just accepted. You got up, your mom said, "What do you want for dinner? It's your birthday dinner." She'd make you a cake. "What kind of cake do you want?" She'd make a special cake. And your gift, you would be talked to, they would ask you, "What would you like for your birthday?" And if it was something, like I wanted a guitar, and my dad said, "I'll buy you a guitar, but you pay for half." I said, "Okay, that's a deal." So they were always negotiating, and they taught you how to negotiate. You were never just given things. So my favorite memory is the fact my parents taught me these wonderful values of the importance of family, the importance of don't get everything that you want. You can't always get what you want. You have to compromise. So Easter. So any of the holidays were always just really exciting and special, because you got dressed up. And Easter, of course, you got your Easter baskets. And Christmas, you got a Christmas morning that was full of presents. And that's how my father made up for your birthdays. You got a ton of gifts on Christmas. There were 9 people, and 9 people gave 9 people a gift. So when you sat down at your pile of gifts, you had 9, everybody had 9, and then Santa came. So Christmas Eve night, there would be over 100 gifts just from the family under the tree, wrapped, sparkling, and beautiful. So when you came downstairs as a child, your eyes just were as big as saucers, and you couldn't wait to open your presents. Those are the best memories of my parents.
Do you have a favorite family vacation that you remember?
Favorite family? 2. Canada, because I was 5 and a half and got to go on my first horseback ride.
That would be
pretty
memorable.
Thanks to Mark. Brother Mark got me the ride because I was crying. Dad was going to take the older kids, not me. Mark told on me, "Anne's crying." Dad asked, "Why are you crying?" I said, "I want to go horseback riding." My mom said, "Okay." And I went horseback riding for 3.5 hours.
How old were you?
Loved it. 5.5 years old.
That is pretty young for a horseback ride.
Best ride of my life. And the second one was the special gift my father put together, because he always felt that Mark and I didn't get vacations, but my brothers and sisters will argue with that. But my father loved to travel and decided that when I was 18 and Mark was 15, we were going to go to England. So we got to spend 3 weeks in England, Scotland, and Wales.
And it was just
us together, us four together. So it was a
who went to who was
vacation.
That?
Just Mark and I and Mom and Dad.
And for 4 weeks?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. And how old were you?
I was 18. Mark was 15.
Oh, wow. That's a good age to go. You were old enough to appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I have a scrapbook of all the postcards I collected. We didn't take many pictures back then because you needed camera and film and things. So I just did it by taking a lot of, I had my little Instamatic, and then I bought postcards at every place we visited to put together. And I kept a little diary of our day-to-day events. And we traveled by train, which was terrific because you just got to board the train and travel through the English countryside. And we took a train over to Wales to spend the day on a coastal town in Wales. And then we went up into Scotland to Edinburgh. And we stayed at these wonderful places in Edinburgh. And we ended up going to a grocery store on my mom and dad's anniversary. We were there. So we ended up meeting my mom and dad. We got sandwiches and we ate in the hotel room on their anniversary in Edinburgh, Scotland. But yeah, that was like the most special vacation.
That does sound pretty amazing.
Yeah.
What was your first job after high school?
Oh. After high school.
Like your first real job, not fast food or whatever. Like what would you consider your first real job?
I never really had to work other than babysitting. So I really wasn't doing anything after high school. I kind of worked for my mom. She had me house cleaning. And then I did go to school, but for 2 years. Then came home, and my first real job would be working at what is Meyer and Frank, which you would believe is it's a Macy's department store.
I remember Meyer and Frank. So I'm not that young.
Okay, I worked at Meyer. A lot of people don't remember Meyer and Frank, so
yeah,
I worked
at
Meyer
and
Frank. Yeah, so I mean, my first real job where I got a real paycheck, and I was paid $2.25 an hour.
Wow.
At Meyer and Frank.
What were you doing at Meyer and Frank?
I worked on the cargo dock, and they had their gift wrap section there. So I was hired to do the gift wrapping for anybody who wanted to come and have their purchase wrapped in the store complimentary paper, or they could buy prettier paper.
Yep.
So that's what I did. I did gift wrapping, and then I helped out on the dock in the mornings to unload the merchandise off the trucks.
Okay. So clearly you had five brothers and sisters and family was very important. It sounds like some family was very important to you. When you got married and decided, was there a discussion about having a big family or having a family, I guess, because you don't have any kids. I don't know.
The situation was a little different for me because when I got married, I was inheriting two stepchildren.
Oh.
So with the two stepchildren, there were the youngest was very problematic with illness. So there was a lot on our plate. And she had a severe congenital heart disease. So between sharing her with her own mother and the hospital care and just maintaining, because she had some learning disabilities and things, so she was a bit of a handful. So it just turned out to be one of those things that just generated into us concentrating our efforts on raising the two kids that he brought into the marriage from his first wife.
Who's your parents' favorite child?
I have to cheat. We talked about this last night. So, of course, everybody said George.
Yep.
But the reason was my mother was an only child and hated it. She was raised by her aunts, old women. So she always wanted a sister or a brother. She wanted to have a family that was made up of that kind of a unit. Lost her father very young. So when she... Her biggest wish was to have a family. So when, of course, her first child was born, whether it was a boy or a girl, didn't matter. It was what she'd always wanted. So for her, that was the, you know, the most wonderful moment of her life. So, of course, it's George. That's not surprising. And she had 2 years with George without any other interference from other children, which is a lot of times your first one's a little bit more special.
Yeah.
You don't love them any different than your other children, but there's just a special connection because it's your first.
Right.
It's your learning curve.
Right.
Right?
It's your practice.
The next
kid.
One's come along.
Yeah.
And, you know, things start to get a little distracted, one after another, and, you know, just having two. You kind of have to now split your time. And so the dynamic changes. So, of course, George was her favorite, and doesn't make a difference. Never affected any of her love for the rest of us.
Right.
We just all knew it.
That's so funny. Where did you meet your significant other?
Significant other number one was my boy from New York City, and he arrived when I was working at Meyer and Frank. I moved in with a lady I'd gone to school with, and we shared an apartment. It's kind of a weird way we met. She was focusing on becoming a radio personality. She loved doing radio, and they would do radio shows out at the Oregon State Mental Institution in conjunction with the television people who would help out from the local community college. My husband was one of the teachers at the community college who taught television. So he went with her crew to the Oregon State Hospital. They did a show. And after the show, my roommate said, why don't we all go back to my apartment, kick back, have a couple beers, you know.
Sure.
And that's how we met, was that night.
Why did they do the show at the mental hospital?
It was just some form of entertainment for the patients that were there.
Oh, interesting.
To give them a little break on, you know, the monotony of their life, and to bring in something new for, and those patients that would respond positively to music. And
sure.
You know, so they just would put on this little show for them.
Where'd you meet John?
Significant other number two was met on a dating app called Zoosk. And he put a very handsome picture of himself on the dating app, and we began to talk, and he said he was a boy from Brooklyn. Again, my first husband was from Brooklyn, so I guess I must be drawn to them.
You have a type?
No. I mean, I always wanted a guy who was like at least taller than me, mm-hmm. and a little bigger than me, because I always felt pretty tall and pretty big. And Rob, my first husband, was a big, big guy. Not taller, but big guy, big bone guy. And then, you know, John, of course, is much taller than I am. But mostly just, John was just had a very handsome picture. We began to talk online. And I mean, it just slowly comes out. He's, you know, you can see there's a decency there. He's an Irish man from an Irish family with Irish large numbers of people in his life, big family. Catholic, of course, makes a difference because you have a base understanding of your religion and your faith, which helps on things. And he was a Marine. So, you know, he's disciplined. And he just was a really interesting guy to talk to. And we knew when we first met that we immediately hit it off, that there was a camaraderie there that was, we were very comfortable with each other, very relaxed. And just coming from that almost little bit of the same background, you know, Italian Catholic, Irish Catholic, it's why you find many times that the Irish marry the Italians. It's because of the religious connection. Mm. Not that we're deeply faithful, but you're raised the same. You go to church every Sunday. You know, faith is important. You have a very decent, solid set of morals, so it helps in a relationship that you come from the same type of background.
Shared background, sure.
Shared, sure. Yeah.
What was your college experience like?
Party animal. I hated school. I was a very timid student, and going to college was very scary, very intimidating, because I didn't have any type of idea what I wanted to do. I just loved to sing, so I tried music, failed miserably because I didn't have the capacity to turn that into anything I could use music for other than singing, and you can't have a career in that. Mostly because it was more of a, you know, an operatic style of voice that, you know, not pop, which every kid wants to be. I met a group of girls in my dorm, and they were fabulous, and we just... One was an art student, one was a home ec student, and we just started running around, and they were all very serious because they had focus on what they wanted to do with their lives. I didn't, so I just ended up being more party than going to... I mean, I went to classes, but my grades just suffered.
And where did you go?
After 2 years, what Oregon State. We all went to Oregon State University. So after 2 years and grades that were simply dismal, I sat down with my father, and his action was to say, we're not spending any more money unless you're going to apply yourself. And I said, well, that works for me because I'm not going to apply myself, so I'm going to go to work. And he said, okay, we came to an understanding. So I just said, I'll go to work. Quit school and went to work.
And that was it, huh?
That was it.
Was he okay with that decision?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sad.
Sure.
Merrill was probably the worst in the reaction because Merrill was a huge believer in education. So she continuously kept urging me, go back. And had I not found my career, I probably would have. But I was dropped into a career that was very successful for me that it didn't require a college education. So that worked out well.
What was the worst thing that one of your siblings ever did to you or that you did to one of your siblings? Do you ever get in trouble or did they ever narc on you or vice versa?
I would have to say I don't have any memory of any worse things that we did to it. We played jokes on each other, but nothing. No, we had fun. I don't remember anything being the worst thing. I mean, the worst thing I can remember that happened was you know, John was playing with a BB gun, and he had an argument with a boy in the neighborhood, and he shot him.
That did come out on John's interview. That was a multiple requested story.
That was another time where the fury of my father came out, which you never saw. This level of fury. Except when I was almost missing, and when John shot the kid, the belt came out. We'd never seen my father take his belt out.
Well, when this is all done, I encourage you to listen to John, because he has some interesting stories on that. I had no idea. He's been my father-in-law for 18 years, and I had no idea he had this sordid past.
That's just so funny.
So that was the last question. I have one half question, and that is there somebody else here that has an interesting story that you think I should ask and record while we're all together? And if the answer is no, that's totally fine. I just want to make sure that...
I know, but I'll think about it.
If you think of anything between here and there, let me know. We can certainly do it, because it's not very often that we're all together, but...
Absolutely.
That's it. I appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me. That's it.